You know, that's really part of the reason why we are gathered for this chapel time, so that we might be a little bit more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that being the morning, it's a little bit tiresome. If you go to Sunday school at your church on the Lord's Day, which I hope you do, but if you do, I was a youth pastor, and this was constantly, every Sunday, I would ask, it didn't matter how old they were, but whatever teenager I would choose, I'd say, hey, so how you doing today? And I always got the same answer, tired. So I know, you're tired this morning. I am too. But this is a time for us to put our minds and our hearts on the Word of God. And I'm excited about giving you what God has for us. This is a living book. This book changes my life. It changes your life. And it is working on us even when we don't realize it. And I know that's going to do that here this morning. So this is what I'd like us to do. Could you take your Bible and go back to where we were last night? Can you go back to Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I'm just going to give you a little insight here. Nearly every time we gather together, we are going to be in Ephesians chapter 4 this week. So if you've got a ribbon in your Bible, you may want to put that there. If you have a bookmark or something, I'd encourage you to put that there. If you have a bulletin, church bulletin, you know, that you've had in your Bible since April, you can put that in there as well. But every time we gather, this is where we're going to be. This is what we're going to study nearly every time. There's a couple of times, I think probably on Wednesday night and Thursday night, I'll step away from Ephesians 4. I've broken up this passage into about 7 messages, and I have to preach 9 times, so I've got to add a couple others as well. But here we are this morning in Ephesians 4. Our text today will be the next 3 verses, verses 22, 23, and 24. All right, this is what the Bible says. The apostle writes, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We need your Spirit sent here right now. We need to hear from you. Holy Spirit, we need you to teach us. We need you to open up the eyes of our heart to understand this. And I pray that you would meet with us this morning. You would help me as I preach and communicate. I pray that you would help us to grasp it, not only to believe it, but also to act accordingly, to apply it. And I pray, oh, I pray, as many years ago when Stephen in Acts chapter 6 preached the word of God, those to whom he preached could not resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spoke. And I pray that we also would no longer resist the working of the Spirit of God in our hearts. May the wisdom of the word come and knock deeply upon our heart's door. I pray this for your glory. Amen. Okay, last night we learned that there are 2 types of people in the world. There is the old humanity and there is the new humanity. The old humanity, that's what we discovered in verses 17 through 21. That was the apostles' description of the old humanity. They are living in the vanity of their mind. They're living in the darkness of their understanding. They're living with greedy, greedy conduct. The old humanity is making this world worse. What we need is a new humanity with a new possibility so we can put away those old things. We need a new humanity, and that is exactly what God has been doing. He has been making a new humanity out of the old humanity. And here in verses 22 to 24, the apostle gives us his description of the new humanity, the new people in Christ, those who God has brought to life. And his big argument, really, from here to the end of chapter 4 is going to, and we're going to see this all this week, his big argument is this: Christian, you are no longer to behave as you once did. Christian, you are no longer to conduct yourself as the old humanity. Why, Paul? Ah, because something happened to you. Something irreversible happened to you. Something vital happened to you. Something supernatural happened to you. You have been remade. You have been renewed. You have been recreated. You are an entirely new person. In fact, let me tell you what happened to you. In verse number 22, you have put off once and for all the old man. Verse 24, you have once and for all put on the new man. Verse 23, your mind is being renewed every day. Christian, this is what has happened to you. You are no longer what you once were, so no longer act the way you once were. Now it is time for you to behave in a certain different way. This is, verse 21, the truth as it is in Jesus. So, again, no longer behave as the old humanity. That's not who you are anymore. So, today, in our time in chapel, let me tell you, through the apostle's word here, what happened to you. Now, if you're a Christian, this is the truth as it is in Jesus. If you are not a Christian here, this has not happened to you, and it needs to happen to you. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would awaken your heart to your need of Christ. All right? So if you're a Christian, this is your identity. This is what has happened to you. All right? Three parts to the truth as it is in Jesus. Number one, you have put off the old man. Would you look at verse 22? That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, that's what it says. What does it mean? Again, I'm going to say this phrase over and over this week because you've got to get it. It is this: young lady, young man, if you're a Christian, something happened to you. Something supernatural has now taken a hold of you. And according to the apostle here in verse 21, you have once and for all put off the old man. Now, what is this thing called the old man? Well, it's not too hard to understand. The old man is the old you. It is the unregenerate you. It is the fallen you. It is the unsaved you. It is you. You were bent away from God. You were bent towards evil. You were against God. The old you is gone. It has been put off. It has been put away. Now, let me see if I can illustrate this here. One of my teachers when I was in college, Mark Minnick, used an illustration, and I want to take it and expand upon it. You're a Christian. Your life is understood as a two-volume biography. I'm going to use myself as an example here. Volume one of my life would be entitled Old Andy, My Life Without Christ. And in part one, vanity of my mind. Part two, living in the darkness of my understanding. Part three, living in the greediness of my conduct. You know what? I do not like volume one. Ah, but there was a day when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And the moment I did that, volume one was forever closed. Never more to be read, never more to be opened. It is closed, a closed book. And now volume two is being written, and volume two I would call New Andy, My Life in Christ. Oh, a new mind, new birth, new understanding, and new behavior. I like volume two. And the opening sentence of volume two, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things are become new. Oh, I like volume two, the new man. Do you have a volume two in your life? Are you the new person in Christ? So again, the apostle here in verse 22 says, the old you has been put off once and for all. In fact, he talks about this also in Romans 6 and verse 6. Same writer, same author, Paul, and he's writing to a different church, and he says in Romans 6:6 that your old man has been crucified with Christ. Why? So that your flesh, the body in which you live, might no longer have power over you. That from this point going forward, you should not serve sin. What does that mean? The old man has been crucified. Can I put it to you this way? Old Andy was not cleaned up. Old Andy was crucified. Old Andy is gone. old Andy doesn't exist anymore. He is in Christ. He is completely done away with. The old man is gone. New Andy was created in its place. New Andy came to life. New Andy was put on. I am no longer what I once was. I can legitimately stand here and say that the person I was before I came to Christ does not exist anymore. Why? He's been crucified with Christ. He is gone. In other words, I stand before you as a man in Christ. The man I was in Adam is gone forever. I'm not half saved and half unsaved. No, I'm entirely the new man. In fact, when God looks on me, and Christian, when God looks on you, he does not see the old you. He sees the new you. He sees the righteousness of Christ in you. And it is perfectly right to say that the old man has been crucified with Christ. This has happened to you. You have put him off. Now, the new you, the new man, right now has to live in the old flesh. And the old flesh still has those old desires, those old corruptions. And part of having put off the old man is every day putting off the old manner left behind from the old man. In fact, that's what he says in verse 22. Again, this is the argument he's going towards. This is the former conversation. That doesn't mean just your speech. It means the former way you thought. You see, the old man thought a certain way. The old you acted a certain way. The old you desired a certain way. The old you acted a certain way. And the apostle says, that's not you anymore, so be done with what was left behind. All right, let me illustrate it this way. You go to buy a house. You're the new owner of the house, but you were not the first owner of the house. There was an old guy who owned the house before you, and he died. So the house is up for sale. You took it, you bought it, and you're bringing in all of your stuff. And as you are bringing in all your stuff into this house you have just bought, you open up the closet to put your clothes in there, and you are greeted with all the clothes that have been left behind by the guy who died. I failed to tell you this. He never bathed. He wasn't too concerned about personal hygiene. And the moment you open up the closet door, you are assaulted by the aroma that is in that closet. What do you do with those old clothes? You say, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull them all out. I'm going to burn them. Yeah, well, that makes sense. But what if? What if you opened up that closet door and you saw all of those old clothes left behind and you thought, you know, I'm the new guy in the neighborhood and I don't want the other neighbors to feel too ill at ease with my being here. So you know what I'm going to do? Just to make everybody feel a little bit comfortable. And by the way, these clothes are kind of vintage. Kind of like them. What I'm going to do is I'm going to dress in them. That way that way people around me will not be as uncomfortable with the new guy coming in. You say, I'd never do that. Of course you would never do that because it makes no sense. But that is what the apostle is getting at here. You're the new person in Christ. You've come to live in the old body. The old man is gone, but he left his dirty clothes. So don't dress in the clothes he left behind. Don't try to parade around other people that nothing has happened. The old you is gone. The new you is here. You've got new clothes. You have new desires. You have new understanding. You have new living. So be who you are. Don't pretend you are someone you are no longer. That is the argument he is giving here. You have put off the old man, so be done with the old manner every day of your life. Let me put it to you another way. About 150 years ago, in these United States of America, one of the greatest, worst problems we've ever had was slavery in this world, in our country. And probably the greatest president we ever had, President Abraham Lincoln, he made a declaration on January the 1st, 1863. What is it known as? The Emancipation Proclamation. And in this proclamation, by it should have been done long before this time. It is a scourge and it was immoral. Slavery was. But he makes his proclamation and he declares that all former slaves are now free. all slaves are free. And it soon became the legal law of the land. And oh, what a great thing. And that's what the Civil War would eventually be fought over. Now, there are recorded cases, though, that there were some slaves, now former slaves, because of habit, because of familiarity, because of practice, because of custom, or whatever it may be, they continued to live as though they were still slaves. What do you say to such a man? You go to him and say, why are you doing this? The slave you were is dead. Now, obviously, the man is still living, but the slave he was is dead. It's completely gone. It's dead. So be done with the slavery. That's not you anymore. So you don't have to live that way anymore. The slave is dead. Be done with the slavery. That is the apostle's argument. You say that you're a Christian. You say that you're the new man in Christ. You're being inconsistent. You're still messing around with the old clothes. You're still messing around with the slavery. The slave to sin you were is dead, so be done with the slavery. You've put it off, and now put off the corruption every time the need arises. The old man is, look at verse 22, corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. When he says it's corrupt, it means not only that it is corrupt, but it is corrupting. The old man is dying. The old man was dying. The old man was corrupting. The idea is not only that it's corrupt, but that it is continually corrupting. You know, you have to increase sin in order to intensify the pleasure. Be done with that. The old man is corrupting. But also, he says in verse 22, the old man is full of lusts of deceit. Deceitful lust. Didn't we talk about this last night? Sin promises maximum pleasure and minimum consequences. Sin lies to you. It's deceiving you. These strong desires that you have, they're deceiving you. They promise maximum fulfillment. They promise to satisfy your strong desires and urges and needs. It promises lasting fulfillment. It promises lasting joy. But it's all a deceiving game. It's tricking you. These lusts that have been left behind, hanging in the closet of the old man. And Paul's point is, my friend, you have put off the old man. The old man is no longer who you are, so no longer dress in how you used to dress in those old desires. Be done with them. All right, you have put off the old man. This has happened to you. It's irreversible. Okay, now, verse 23, he says, let me tell you something else that is happening to you. You are being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Did you notice that in verse 23? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, what is this thing called the spirit of your mind? Oh, it's more than just your mind. The power of man's mind. You know, with our mind, we have done some pretty amazing things in this old world. With our minds, we have written powerful music. With our minds, we have created beautiful art. With our minds, we have defied gravity. We have unlocked certain what we used to think was unsolvable mysteries. With our minds, we have actually healed certain diseases. With our minds, we have actually cloned a sheep. Now, that was the big deal when I was back in high school, you know, in the 20th century when I was in high school. But the big deal was at the end of the 90s was that scientists in Scotland had actually and successfully cloned a sheep. They named her Dolly. Now, Dolly's dead now. But they actually cloned a sheep. This is amazing. Well, it took the world by storm. Everybody was talking about that, and I remember that, and I thought it was pretty cool. Well, when about a year and a half ago, my wife and I got to take a mission trip over to Scotland. And so I was preaching there in a church, and it was wonderful. We had some days in which we were able to see some sights, and we went to Edinburgh, Scotland. And while we were there, we did some sightseeing, and we also went into this museum. And as I'm one of these guys who reads everything in museums. Are you this type of person? You know, I'm a nerd, so I'm reading all of this stuff. And as I came, there was a stuffed sheep in front of me. Now, we're not talking about, you know, the snowflake that you take to bed at night, you know, not that type of stuffed animal, but an actual sheep who was alive but now is dead, and then they stuffed it. And they put it up on display. And I was like, okay, let me read this. And it says, this is Dolly, the first cloned sheep in, you know, human history. And I was like, this Dolly right here, dead as a doornail. But there she is. How cool. With our minds, we have done amazing things. There is nothing wrong with the instrument that is between your two ears. There is nothing wrong with the instrument of the brain. But what is the operating system behind your mind? What is governing your thinking? What is governing your mind? What is the operating system behind it? You see, there is nothing wrong with the instrument, but the operating system has been taken over by a foreign agent. We learned this even last night. Satan has taken over our minds. Our whole outlook is wrong. Our whole thinking is distorted and warped and perverted. The mind can conceive of great things, but the governing power behind it is often wrong. And because you have put off the old man, and as we're going to talk about here in just a few minutes, because you have put on the new man, therefore your mind needs to every day be recaptured, refocused, renewed, recalibrated by the Holy Spirit of God. Is your mind going in its default back to how it used to think, or is it being renewed, recalibrated? You know, my wife, when we had our three children were younger, when she would want to get their attention and they weren't paying attention, you know, very well, you know how children are. When she wanted to get their attention and they weren't, they were distracted, she would get right down on their level and she would take both hands and put it on both sides of their cheek, and she would say, "Focus." And here they are, and they would focus in on her. Now, lest you think she's never had to do that to me, okay? At least she hasn't put her hands on both sides and told me to focus. She has told me to focus before. But anyway, that's what she would do. She would get right down and pay attention. That is the idea of what it is to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Here you go. You've woken up today and you haven't probably even thought about this, but Satan is dragging your mind back towards the old way of thinking, the default way, that easy way of thinking. You're tired. Your mind's going to go in a certain direction. You need today, you need right now, you need every day of your life for the Holy Spirit to put on both sides of your mind and say, no, 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 focus. Let's get recalibrated. Let's refocus. Let's be renewed. You need to think God's thoughts. No longer think the way you used to. You need to be thinking in the right and the proper way. Now, how is this done? How is the spirit of your mind renewed? Well, I'm going to give you three ways briefly. It is done. Your mind is renewed by God's Spirit through God's Word among God's people. I'm going to say that again. Your mind is renewed by the Holy Spirit through God's Word among God's people. Let me talk about these three. Number one, your mind is renewed by the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you this? You cannot renew your mind. You are not the one who does it. In fact, we read in Colossians 3 and Romans chapter 12 that this is done to you by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is at work even right now, and you may not even realize it. He is the one who is going to renew your mind, make you think in the right way. So do not hinder what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So the Holy Spirit is the one who renews your mind. But number two, your mind is renewed through God's Word. You know why you've come to camp? So your mind will be renewed. Do you know why you go to the Lord's Day services on Sunday? You know why? So your mind can be renewed. Do you know why you read your Bible and you should be in the Word of God every day? So your mind can be renewed. You do not have devotions. You do not read the Bible simply out of duty. You do not do it so you can earn points for your team at camp, so that you can earn points to go on mission trips. No, this is not why. This is not the motive why you read the Bible. You read it because your mind keeps being captured by the enemy of God. Your mind keeps wanting to go back the way it used to. You need the Bible every day, because the more you are in God's thoughts, the more God's thoughts get in you. And your mind is washed and your mind is renewed. This is an everyday occurrence. Have you ever noticed that when you've been at camp, you go home from camp, you're like a lot closer to God than you were? Have you ever noticed that? Like, it's a little bit easier sometimes to resist sin right when you first get back to camp. It's a lot easier to want God and to be in the Word. Why is that? I'll tell you one reason why. Because for 1 week, you have tremendously upped the dosage of the Word of God in your life. I mean, I'm sorry about this, but you got to hear me preach to you 9 times. This is number 2, so you got 7 to go. You're going to hear a lot. Then you got all your counselors working with you. You've got you got other people coming alongside and pushing you towards the Lord Jesus, giving you the Word of God. You are singing songs that come from the Word of God, are about the Word of God. Your mind is being submerged in the Word of God. No wonder you have a stronger desire for God. But yet you go home and what happens? You don't have the same amount of exposure to the Word of God. Oh, you're kind of hit and miss with church. Or maybe you go to church every week, but it's just one day a week. The Bible's not as important to you. The Bible is seen more as a textbook, maybe for school or for other things. And rather than upping the dosage of the Word of God, you down the dosage of the Word of God, and your mind keeps going back the old way. But young man, young lady, if you're a new person in Christ, something happened to you. You have put off the old man and your mind is being renewed. So the Holy Spirit of God renews your mind. He does it through God's Word and He does it among God's people. In fact, the Scripture says that we gather together as God's people so that we may provoke or encourage one another to love and good works. Why do you have a counselor? Because here is somebody coming alongside you to say, let me help you think rightly. Let me help you focus on how you should be thinking every day of your life. Let me give an illustration of this. I mentioned last night my wife has been battling breast cancer this year. It's been a very hard year. My job is a traveling preacher. Often I am away from home. Most of my life I'm away from home, particularly nearly every Sunday. Because of my wife's cancer treatments, there were sometimes, some Sundays, some weeks, that we were apart. And I would be I'd be preaching in different places. There were some Sundays when I would come to a new church service and meeting new people, and I would come in downhearted. I would come in discouraged. I wanted to be home. I didn't want to be there. I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach, but my heart wasn't in it as much as maybe it needed to be. And I cannot tell you how many times someone, one of God's people, another new person, another Christian, would come alongside and say, Andy, just wants you to know God is good. God is taking care of your family. This is what God has done in my life. I know I see this is what God is doing in your life. And their words of encouragement would pick up my spirit. And you know what they would do? Their words, their provoking, their encouraging would come alongside and, as it were, saying, Andy, focus. Don't let your mind be sabotaged. Don't have this self-pity party. Don't think that God is not good. Don't think that God is unfaithful. No, 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 no. Andy, think rightly. You see, the Holy Spirit of God uses His Word and uses His people to help keep your mind where it needs to be. You know what that means? That means this: when life is difficult for you, don't skip out on church. Oh, I know a lot of Christians. They're going to church as long as everything's going okay, but the moment something goes wrong, they take their ball and go home. Well, God doesn't care. No, 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 no. Your mind has been sabotaged. You need the church to help you think. Do not neglect the church. All right. What has happened to you? You have put off the old man once and for all. You are being renewed in the spirit of your mind by God's Spirit through God's Word among God's people. But let me tell you what also happened to you. Verse 24, you have put on the new man once and for all. You are no longer what you once were. You're a new person. Look at verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What is this thing called the new man? Well, that's easy. It's the exact opposite of the old man. It is the man you are in Christ. It is the new creation. It is the new you. And as I said, it is the exact opposite of what you once were. Now, I want to show you this because I want you to know I'm not making any of this up. Look at verse number 22. The description of the old man is corrupt. The old man is decaying. The old man is dying. Oh, but look at verse 24. The new man is created. The new man has come to life. It is the exact opposite. Now, look at this. Look back in verse 22. The old man is full of deceit. The old man is full of deceitful lusts. But look at verse 24. The new you is full of holiness. That's the opposite of lusts. It's full of truth. That's the opposite of deceit. The new you is 180 degrees different from the old you. The new you is entirely different. Oh, you still have the same body, but when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are an entirely new person. You are no longer what you once were. You will never be what you once were. He says, you have put it on. Again, this is something you have already done at salvation. It's who you are. So if I can put it in his big argument in four words, be who you are. Do not be and pretend to be what you no longer are. Be who you are. You are the new man in Christ. So why should you put on the righteousness and the newness of the new man? Just as the old man has been put off, so the old manner must be put off every day. So the new man has put on, so every day you should put on the new manner, the new living, the new thinking, the new acting. Why should you do that? Well, I'm going to give you three quick reasons. Number one, you should put on the ways of the new man because this is who you are. Be consistent. Number two, you should live as the new person in Christ because the world is watching you. The old humanity is watching you, and they are waiting for you to mess up. They are waiting for you to fall. They are looking for an excuse to dismiss Christianity. Ah, here's this old person in Christ, this old person apart from Christ, the old humanity. You are now saying, I'm a Christian. Now they're going to start looking for, they're going to start looking for your hypocrisies. They're going to start looking for your inconsistencies. And when you do not do what you should be doing, when you are not acting the way that a Christian should, aha! Now, see, there is nothing in your message. There is nothing in your lifestyle. There is nothing to your Jesus. Look at you. You are acting the same way I do. You're a liar just like I am. You're a thief just like I am. You get angry just like I do. You are bitter just like I am. Look at your corrupting speech. You are no different than mine. See, I don't need your Jesus. This is why you must be who you are. The old humanity is watching and are looking for an excuse to dismiss Christianity. But let me give you the third reason. You must act as the new man because you understand the character and the nature of the new man. You understand who you are. That's from verse 24, two parts. Number one, he says, you have been, please see this, because I'm going to say this every service from here on out in Ephesians 4. The new man has been created after God. Did you notice that in verse 24? You are created after God. What does this mean? You are taking after God as you put on the new ways of the new man. You're living in his likeness. You're showing people a little bit more about what God is like. You see, when you put on the truth of the new man, and you put on the work of the new man, and you put on the righteousness of the new man, the old humanity will be able to look at you and get a better picture of what God is like. As God is truthful, so you can be. As God is edifying in his words, so you too can be. On and as God is righteous, so you too can be righteous. You can actually show the old humanity what God is like. This is why you put on the new ways of the new man. But let me give you this final one. Not only are you created after God, but you are also created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. More about this tonight. Well, you're not just being moral. You're not just being a good little boy or a good little girl. No, you are being like God. People will see that you are characterized by a life of integrity, a life of truth, not deceit. There is a God-likeness to you, a God-settledness to you, and in short, you actually will shock the world. You will shock the old humanity as they look at the new conduct of the new man and they say, what do you have that I do not? And that's when you can gloriously say, it is not in me, it is what Jesus Christ has done in me. You need Jesus as I have found him, and you too can be a part of this new humanity. All right, so we know that there are two types of people in the world, the old humanity and the new humanity. If you're a Christian, you're part of the new humanity. And if you're a Christian, that means this, young man and young lady, something happened to you. You have once and for all put off the old man. You have once and for all put on the new man. You're an entirely new person, and you are being renewed in the spirit of your mind every day. This is the truth as it is in Jesus. Now, tonight, when we gather for the evening service, we're going to look at one verse. Doesn't mean it's going to be a shorter message, but it's just one verse tonight. Verse number 25, and we are going to start making a transition. This is who you are. That's what we've been looking at, and we're going to make the transition tonight. Now this is what you must do because of who you are.